For some that are here today and you have, you've never experienced the healing that can be yours today in Jesus Christ. You find yourself still wounded and unhealed at Christmas time. You can cover it up fairly well throughout the year. That's why many, you keep the radio on nonstop, because you don't have to stop and ever deal with what's really going on in your heart. You cover it up with activities, even religious activities sometimes in the church, so that you never really have to deal with what's going on inside. There's an unhealed wound, there's a pain, and there's nothing like Christmas to bring it back to the surface again. So many people despise the holidays, birthdays, because all of these seasons remind them of the times throughout life when the gifts that were promised never came, when the people who said they would didn't, and the people who shouldn't have stayed never left. And all of these things come back together again. And even though we can travel away from it and we can go to various places, maybe throughout the country, Christmas time seems to bring it all back together. All the old wounds, all the old struggles, the trials, the difficulties, all come back together. So I want to take a moment this morning and to talk to you about being wounded and unhealed at Christmas time. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the touch of heaven. I thank you, God, for, Lord, you are a God who heals. You are a God, Lord, who unlocks prison doors. You give strength, God, to the weary. You heal the depressed. Lord, you give joy where there is no joy, and there's no natural reason for it left anymore. That's who you are. That's what you do. Lord, thank you for meeting with us so powerfully today. Thank you for the wonderful worship time that we have had. Now, Lord, we ask you, I ask you, to go deep into the hearts of the people that you've gathered here in this physical sanctuary in North Jersey, in our annex, and all online throughout the world. Thank you for what you will do in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name. I want to read to you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, beginning halfway through verse 5. Words that God was speaking to his own people through a prophet at a time of great difficulty in the nation. And he said to the people, "The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they've not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment." I don't know what happened to the people of God of that time. Maybe they just got so used to disappointment. Maybe they got so familiar with pain that it's possible it can become a person's comfort that we live in pain for so long. And he was stretching out his hand to that generation, as God always does, trying to tell the people, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I want to heal you. I want to bring you." But they had become so used to their pain that they didn't see any other way. They saw no way forward. In their hearts were wounds that could not be healed, bruises from relationships perhaps, or disappointments that had turned into sores, just this open sores. And you see that at Christmas time in family. Many here would understand what I'm talking about. When family tries to get back together and you make that deepest heartfelt commitment, this year we're going to love one another, or this year I'm going to bite my tongue until it bleeds. I'm not going to respond to Uncle so-and-so or Cousin so-and-so or Mom or Dad or brother or sister. I'm just going to eat my ham or macaroni and cheese or whatever is before me. I'm going to, you know, put on my party hat, blow the little party thing, and then I'm out of here. But you're only halfway, around half an hour into the fellowship, and it's just like all heaven is gone and the other starts to manifest itself and people are yelling at each other. You see, because there's open sores that have never been healed. There are open wounds that are still there. Although throughout the year, they've been masqueraded and pushed away, and it's sort of a la, 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 la moment to all the pain inside. If I just keep myself occupied, then I don't have to deal with it anymore. And so some people are sitting here today and you say, "Well, I've been here before. am I missing something that can be found here? I've been in Christmas gatherings before. I've been in church before. But I can't seem to lay hold of the things that you're talking about. I'd like to experience the, for a moment today, I felt love, I felt joy, but it doesn't last. It seems to only go to the door with me, and then I'm back to my old self again, where I have to turn back on the radio and I have to get myself distracted because of all of the struggle that's going on inside of me. Nice people here, no doubt about that, nice feeling, but what does it all have to do with me? In the book of Luke, chapter 4, I'll just read it to you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was sent into the world for a specific reason. He stood up in a pulpit at the age of 30, and there were handed to him the book of the prophet Isaiah that I had just been reading about when we opened today. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." In other words, he's given me a message for people who know they don't have the resources to get out of the place that they're in. They don't have the physical, they don't have the mental, they don't have the spiritual resource, they don't have the strength. They've just made peace with pain. May I put it that way? And I know that I'd like to get out, but I can't get out. I'd like to forgive, but I can't forgive. I'd like to be healed, but if somebody could just kindly tell me how that happens in my life. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of hating Christmas. I'm tired of hating family gatherings. I'm tired of the birthdays that I wish would never come, and I'm glad when they go. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That was the mission of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that in this world we do suffer. Problems come that we can't solve. Things are done that we weren't responsible for, or we did things that we were responsible for. And whatever the case is, we find ourselves brokenhearted and wishing that we weren't reminded of it every year. He said, "I came to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the places of pain, freedom to those things that seem to have iron bars all around us where we simply can't get out." We've tried to get out. We tried to drink our way out. We tried to entertain ourselves to get out. We tried to dance it away in some cases, but we just simply can't get out of the pain and the place of captivity. And he said, "I came to give back sight to the blind. I came to show you a way forward, not just out of captivity, but into the life that God has for every person ever born into this world." There is a life that God has for you and has for me. That life includes his strength, his freedom, his healing, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who, because of past circumstance, are seemingly entering into a realm of oppression they've never known before. Voices telling them, "You're a loser. You'll never make it. End it all. What's the point of life? You're never going to have a normal life or relationships in your life, so why don't you just end it all now?" You see, a brokenheartedness, if it's not healed, becomes an open wound. And if it's not healed, it becomes an avenue to voices that will try to get you to do the unthinkable with your life. That's what the devil has always been after. He hates you because you are the center of God's heart. Do you know that? That's why the devil hates you. "And I've come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." In other words, I've come to tell you that you don't have to wait a month, a week, 6 months, a year. This is your moment to be free and healed. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today. Today, folks, today, my brother, my sister, today, I don't care how far down you are. It's not that it doesn't matter to me, but no matter how deep your pain is, today, there is a healer. Today, there is one who can open your prison door. Today, there's one who can cause you to have a future. Today, there's one who can give you joy that doesn't have to be left here in this house. you can actually laugh so loud and so hard at dinner with your family tomorrow that people will look at you like you've finally lost your mind, but the reality is you finally just gained it. Today, you see, the mission of God in sending his son is about healing you and bringing you home. The scripture says in the Gospel of John that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God did not send his son into the world to condemn you. He knows what you've done. He knows what's been done to you. He knows where you're living. He knows what you have said or wished you had. This is the beauty of Christmas, where God, as I shared last week, came down and became one of us, not just one of us, but the weakest of one of us, became a baby. I can't understand that fully. God, who carries the universe in the palm of his hand, came in a form where he had to be carried in somebody else's hands. God, who gives life and breath and sustains all things, had to be carried, fed, nurtured, changed, bathed. God. God. Because he wanted to show you and to show me that he's not offended by our weakness, but rather he's willing to come down and walk with us in the midst of it. Born in a stable. A stable where you have animals that people traveling were storing their animals there, and there would be the stench of excrement and animal waste all over the floor. It would smell like ammonia. The smell would get in your clothes. You see, there's nowhere you can be. There's no place where your wound is so deep that he won't come and get you where you are. You don't have to come where he is. That's what Christmas is all about. He came to where you are. And he did it because he loves you. In the book of Isaiah, elsewhere, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. A natural mother could forget her child, but I cannot forget you. I engraved you on the palms of my hands. You see, the cross was already in the Old Testament. It's everywhere. When those nails went through his hands, your name was engraved in his hands. By the point of that nail, that's how much he loved you. I've always believed that when he cried out in those last moments on the cross with a cry that a hardened centurion, used to the cries of the dying, it was a cry like he'd never heard before. It was a cry that caused him to back up and say, surely this was the Son of God. I happen to believe your name was in that cry. Crying out for you to understand how much he loved you. Crying out for you to come and be healed from your pain. Crying out that you would understand that he came to give you freedom. He came to heal those deep wounds in your life. He came to give you a vision for the future. He came to give you joy. Now, can you imagine? God has an ocean, literal ocean, of saving power, healing power, keeping power, love and joy. It's a literal ocean. My heart has started to touch it over the years. It's amazing when you're at peace inside your own heart. It's amazing when God gives the power to forgive. It's amazing when he gives the power to become what you never could have hoped to be in your own strength. There is an ocean of God. The love of God is so rich, it's so powerful, it's so deep that you could... If you could breathe underwater, if you were given diving equipment that could go to the depths of the ocean, there's no way you could get to the bottom of God's love for you. You couldn't get to the sides. You couldn't get to the top. His love is so strong and so powerful. When the scripture says God so loved the world, that is not just a few words to fill a line of scripture. It's a statement about God. It's a statement about his love for you. Even in the midst, and your family, even in the midst of your pain, the dysfunction in so many homes, the abandonment, the regrets, All of the accusations, why weren't you here when we needed you? Imagine you left today. It rained in New York City, I think, most of the day yesterday. Can you imagine if you left here today and you went out on Broadway and you saw a person swimming in a puddle? It would look like that person has lost their mind, wouldn't it? Remember, he said the whole head is sick, Isaiah, to the people of God. And you would ask the person, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm trying to swim there. He said, do you not realize you're in a puddle? You're not going to go anywhere. And as it escaped your attention that just a few blocks on either side of you, there's an ocean. If you want to swim, the ocean is there. If you're really that intent on swimming. And when we try to heal ourselves, we are like people swimming in a puddle. When there's an ocean of God. And so when we gather again today at Christmas time in this church at this time, we are standing on the shores of an ocean of healing, freedom, sight. And yes, it will come with some tears. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes again in the morning. It may come with the recognition of some pain. It may require a willingness to just say, I'm not putting this off anymore. I'm not putting it away. I'm not pretending it doesn't exist. I'm going to deal with reality. My heart hurts. I am wounded and I'm unhealed at Christmas time. And I'm not willing to put on my happy hat and try to dance and pretend like it's not there, because it is going to break out somewhere along the line. But if it's true, if God does heal, if what he said in the book of Luke is a reality, if he can give me strength in my poverty, I know I can't get out, I can't change who I am, I can't change the pain in my heart. If it's true that he can heal my brokenheartedness and give me the grace to forgive, I don't have to forget, but I can forgive. And if the brokenheartedness in my life can be brought to a point where it doesn't govern my future anymore, if he can set me free from the prison I've gotten myself into, prisons of drugs, alcohol, broken relationships, anger, pornography, whatever it is that got into your life because of the wounding that's not healed. If he can give me a vision for the future, if God can show me a way ahead, if God can give me a glimpse of what my life could be and open my eyes, because I don't see a future. I see trying to survive. And if he can deliver me from the oppressive voices all around me, whether they're physical voices coming from my own associations or spiritual voices, evil ones, or voices from my own heart telling me that life is no longer worth living, what's the point? Why not just get the best you can out of it and get out of here as soon as possible? If today is the day, if his words were true in that pulpit, if today can be my day, then I'm not going to swim in the puddle anymore. I'm going to dive into the ocean of God and trust him and believe that today can be the day of my freedom. You know, folks, listen to me. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He's coming back to this world. It's not going to be long. He's coming for his church. He's coming back to recreate all things. But until that day, the offer to be recreated is extended by the hand of God to you and I in places such as this. Today, the scripture says, if you can hear his voice, don't harden your heart to the love of God. Why would you do that? Why would anybody in their right mind do that? If it's possible that what this pastor is telling you today is true, if I am a sincere man, if I have experienced everything that I'm telling you can be yours, then why, for what conceivable reason, would you not dive in to the fullness of the forgiveness, the redemption, the power, the hope for the future that God offers to you? Why would you not? For what reason? Is the pain worth holding on to? Is the life you now have so precious you're not willing to let it go for one that's a billion times more glorious? Is the sadness got such a stronghold that the thought of joy is unappealing? I don't think that's even possible. I'll make you a promise today. I'll make you a promise. If it doesn't work for you, you hold me accountable for it then. I make you a promise that if you will give your pain to God, if you will let Jesus touch your pain today, you will have laughter and joy tomorrow, no matter where you are. You will. You will. No matter who's at the table, you will have joy. You're going to have to sneak away to the bathroom just to speak in tongues and just laugh. I'm not kidding you. You will. You will. How many today would like to get out of their pain? Could you raise your hand? Go ahead. Just all over. Just raise your hand. Come on. I'm going to ask us in a moment to stand up, and I'm going to ask those of you who raised your hand and those of you who should have raised your hand to come and meet me at the front of this auditorium, and I'm going to pray for you, believing that as I lead you in this prayer, everything that you have heard from the scriptures today becomes yours. And don't let your own heart deceive you into thinking this can't possibly be true. It is true. And many of us have experienced it and continue to today. Let Jesus touch you. Don't go home wounded and unhealed. This can be the finest Christmas of your entire life. God will heal you. Lord, we are your people. This is the testimony you have on the earth in this generation. And we are willing to confess our hurt to you and our pain and our sorrow. But we acknowledge you today, Lord, as the healer, the deliverer, the giver of sight to those who can't see, the giver of gifts to those who have no power. Lord God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, for a baptism of joy, the joy of knowing that you are God, that you love us, that you died to save us. A baptism of joy, oh God, Lord, that we would no longer be driven by pain and former wounds. Bring healing, Lord, into all of our homes. God, let the dinner table or whatever it is, the dinner room, let it be a place of comfort. Let it be a place of song. Let it be a place of kindness. Pray with me, everyone who's come to the altar today. Lord Jesus Christ, I open my heart to you. And I believe you will not disappoint me. I thank you today for loving me with an incredible love. I thank you for coming to get me in all of my mess and your willingness to forgive me and promise me new life. And so I open my heart. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I tell you today, I believe you. I believe your words. I believe that you came to me for all of the things you said. And I receive it. And I believe it. I believe that my wrong was placed on you when you went to the cross. And because of you, I'm free and I'm clean to start a new life. And you have promised to be the power of this new life. So, Lord, I'm asking you, do in me everything that I've heard today. I am yours. And I trust you for joy. I ask you, Lord, that this would be the best Christmas of my entire life. God, make me a blessing now to everyone that I will meet today and tomorrow and the days after. Make my life a blessing. Father, I thank you for it with all my heart. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.